And it's our pleasure tonight to present to you guest speaker, Brother Neil Russell.
Now, my favorite character is Forrest Gump, okay? So anyhow, I'm not going to do Forrest tonight, but I am going to start with a story. 30 years ago, I was sitting there trying to figure out how long ago it was. First time I came here, 30 years ago. I'm not sure if anybody that's here, I believe you were here at that time. Put your hands up if you were here 30 years ago, 1991. Barbara had a friend who attended our church. And she was telling everybody at our church about this powerful ministry over here in Delaware and that there was a woman who heard from God. And I was a brand new Christian. So was my wife. So anyhow, and what was the woman's name there, smart woman?
Where?
Lou.
Lou, oh. Where? That's what you said, women.
This woman is, this is Maureen. Maureen attends our church. Maureen has a photographic memory. Yes, you do, okay? Anyhow, I remember being here with my wife, Cindy, and at the end of the service, Pastor Barbara invited everybody up for prayer. And we never, because my wife never went to church, okay, she started attending where we go. She grew up with religion, and that's what turned off so many human beings in this world. But anyhow, with that said, Pastor Barbara prophesied over the two of us, and we fell out in the Spirit. We never fell out in the Spirit, ever. I mean, we were out. But basically what she said 30 years ago, okay, and here I am standing here today, and we didn't believe anything she said. I'm a doubting Thomas. Jewish people are hard heads, right? I mean, we have to be whacked to believe, but anyhow, Pastor Barber said that Cindy and I would have a ministry, and we would bring the gospel message to the world. And I just told that story to Skip and Maureen coming up here. Anyhow, and we looked at each other and said, no, my wife was the most timid person you ever want to meet. She would never, if I would say, Cindy, stand up. No, she would never stand up here, ever. Okay, if you know people like that. Anyhow, she was asked by Sid Roth in front of the entire world to speak. And I'm looking at her thinking, oh, my God, is she going to do it? Sid said, Cindy, you shouldn't be here. You should be dead. Correct. She said, correct. But you are here. Turn to the camera right now and give people hope. She opened her mouth, and it was profound. It's been seen by millions of people. See, everything that you, the reason I started with that tonight is that everything that goes on, we don't see the results right away. 30 years, okay? I'm standing here. So I'm going to open up this verse tonight. A verse that all of you are aware of, and it ties in to the message. This is Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The beginning, all the way to the middle of September last month, I was on my knees praying. I've never prayed so much. Every day, every time I turn around, the phone would ring. Things would be happening everywhere. And I'm saying, what's going on? And so all of you were too, okay? My wife and I came to your first anointed service back in August, and I called Alan to get the dates when that started, okay? We were in the evening service. We shocked Alan because I wanted to be here. When you guys had service morning and evening those days in a row, and see, we're asking for the anointing of God to come down on all of us, and we want to know it. This is an obedient church. Anyhow, I asked Alan, when did COVID hit this church? When? And basically, the time frame was. And you're right there, so you can say if I'm right or wrong. But basically, it was right at the beginning of September.
It was the day after
At the end of the miracle service. Okay, so here's what I want you to hear this. The reason there's not a lot of people here, but again, even if it was one person, you need to hear it. Okay, I prayed to God, what's happening? Tell me. I want to know. Just like all of you, I believe God has given me the answer to share with you tonight. Okay? That's why I'm standing here. So I'm going to read one more verse. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made of the things that appear. What does that mean? Everything you look at, including yourself, including those children, everything that you see was formed, everything from the beginning of time, by the word of God, not by man, not by the things that we see. Yes, Alan, you're a builder. You build things, okay? We look at all the things around us, but the main thing that my heart's passion is truth, to get the truth out to the world. That Genesis 1 is true. It's science. That is what I want. Because again, if you don't believe the first sentence, just like that song, those songs that you sang, okay? If you don't believe the first sentence of the Bible, then you wake up in the morning, you have no peace. All the things that are happening in this world are just eating away at this world right now because they don't have that foundation. If you don't believe the first sentence of the Bible, you're not going to believe the rest of the book either. And you can go in religion and all the churches out there, and you can go to Sunday school and teach kids. But unless when things happen like what just happened and what's still happening, and you don't have that foundation, just like that song, God's our Abba, God's our Father. Everything is His. I'm His. I don't own anything. I own nothing. I am blessed. So, folks, here we go. All right, so Brother Brett is my tech guy tonight back there, and this is Mickey Mouse. We're going to see if Mickey Mouse works. Now, I love you, Mickey Mouse, okay? I think it was 3 weeks ago, I went fishing with my buddy, and I love being out in nature. I love just having the peace that God, of God's creation. We're out on the Wye River in back of our house, and there on the trees were friends of mine. And I'm looking at them, and they're flying, and they're going from tree to tree. And I'm thinking, the Holy Spirit prompted me, Neil, you got to tell the world about this, okay? That's what I'm here for tonight. From that period until now, this will be the last church service. I've done it twice in two different church services. I put it together as a video. Now, is this being videotaped, Brett? It is? Okay. If you could send me the beginning starting in a moment, I want to thank Pastor Barbara, okay? Because, again, you wouldn't be here tonight. I wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for Pastor Barbara. I'm telling you right now what a blessing she is. What a blessing. What's today's date? Anybody have an idea? 10-10. Okay, cool. Okay. October 10th. Boy, is time flying. Okay. Now, this is something that God put on my heart to share with you. Okay, one of my gifts is the ability, I'm right-brained, I can close my eyes and I can see your face. I can actually draw everybody in here if I looked at you with my eyes closed. I was a teacher for 45 years. One of the things that is so important to learn is a visual, okay? So the visual that you're looking right now, I looked at different graphs and I put it together, and I had no idea I'd be standing here in front of this church and showing you that picture. But it's understanding God's prophetic calendar. Once you understand God's prophetic calendar, you have total peace, knowing that God's in control of every second, everything. There's a man on his knees. He knew God's word. He studied God's word. He was probably one of the smartest people that ever lived, next to Albert Einstein and Sir Isaac Newton. Now, back in the day, he didn't have this thick book because it wasn't all written yet. Okay, he had the five books of Moses. He knew it. He read it every day. And he knew after reading the book of Jeremiah that time was up. And he's crying out to God, when, Lord? When? The same thing that we're all praying right now. When, Lord? When is this going to happen? When's Pastor Barbara going to be completely healed and back here? Now, look, there's one of the people I've been praying for. I picked him up tonight. He's here. But about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I didn't even know he was alive. I looked for the obituaries on him, and I found the obituary. I thought he died until I saw the year. It was his father in 2004. Okay? He's here. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So Daniel, that's where we're starting. All right. Facts about Daniel. Daniel was from the tribe of Judah. Daniel was born in Jerusalem in 589 BC. I triple-checked all these numbers, okay? So I'm going to give you a little history on Daniel. Daniel was 16 years old when Nebuchadnezzar conquered Jerusalem in 605 BC. Daniel was captured and exiled along with thousands of fellow Israelites from the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, and Levites to Babylon, 900 miles away from Jerusalem. During his 70 years of captivity, God gifted Daniel with the supernatural ability to interpret the dreams of kings. Daniel was soon promoted to the highest ranks of the Babylonian government, where he served four Babylonian rulers, including Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus. Daniel's life was characterized by faith, prayer, courage, and lack of compromise. During Daniel's entire lifespan in captivity, he never stopped praying and interceding for the sins of his people. Now, I don't think we've ever prayed so much in our lives as this past month, correct? Okay, so I'm going to tie this in at the end back to Daniel. By studying God's word daily, Daniel had full confidence that God would fulfill his promises to his people, to the day and to the hour, according to God's calendar set in motion on day four. Now, again, how many Christians, how many pastors, how many preachers, how many people on television have this kind of depth understanding? Daniel did. Daniel knew the word of God. Day four is what we're going to take a look at. Genesis 1, 14, 15, creation day four. God revealed his heavenly clocks in the night and day sky. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of heavens to separate the day from the night, to let them be signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of heaven to give light on the earth. And so it was. Okay, in other words, those of you, like my buddy back there, who is learning digital technology, what God did and programmed the rotation of our earth, you know, we're sitting here. We have no idea that we're spinning really fast right now. We have no idea sitting here that we're going around the sun right now. We have no idea that the moon is going around there. God fine-tuned on this day in preparation for what's going to happen on days five and six. Day four was one of the most important days of creation. A lot of people don't know this. A lot of Christians don't know this. There are two calendars in this world. Man's calendar is the sun. Okay, that's the one I asked October 10th. That's man's calendar. Okay? But God's calendar is the moon. It's the lunar calendar. Creation day four, God programmed the seasons right now. Within 2 weeks, you're going to see major changes outside of the trees and so on. I live in the woods. I don't look forward to fall because fall means all those leaves that are up there. I got to rake them, okay? And all the seasons that we see up there, this was all programmed, fine-tuned on day number four. The Earth's rotation, one complete 360-degree turn of the Earth is our day. Okay? Now, I love these graphics. Take a look at that. Isn't that cool? The moon's phases. The moon goes completely around in one circle. Okay? It takes a month, okay, around the Earth. The Earth's revolution, that means the Earth going around the sun, is exactly 365 days. This is creation day four. God programmed it. He fine-tuned all that, and I'll show you what happened. All right, Brett? Now take a look. That's another beautiful picture. Creation day four, God perfectly timed the Earth to move around the sun in 365 and a quarter days and end up back in the same position. This is our calendar. This is the calendar that we use, man's calendar. Okay, the solar calendar is 12 months, 365 and a quarter days. We have exactly 3 months per season, exactly 3 months per season. Now, we're in the fall season. We know what's ahead of us. It's winter where we live here. Okay, so again, this is what God programmed on day number four. All right, Brett? How God prepared his solar calendar for life. Find your birthday on there, guys. You see it? It's there somewhere. Okay, everybody, your children, it's all there. We celebrate that every year. How many trips we make around the sun. Okay, so he's preparing. That's what he did on day four. He prepared it for his creation coming up. On creation day five and six, God programmed the DNA of all living things with unique internal clocks that are finely tuned to the 365-day solar year. Everything he created out there, including us, in our DNA, was programmed. Okay, so he at first had to get the Earth and the moon and the sun and all those ingredients working perfectly before he went ahead and created life. Does that make sense? Okay, go ahead. On creation day five, God programmed the DNA of all living things with the unique eternal clock finely tuned to the 365-day solar year. The amount of genetic information, now I don't have a piece of paper, but Maureen, I'm going to borrow this right here. Take a look. There's a couple sheets here. Right here is an 8 by 11.5 piece of paper. Okay, so picture this. The amount of genetic information that's stored on one strand of human DNA is equal to 1,206,980 single sheets of paper. The code that God put within everything, the DNA, okay, now we did a video and some of the kids were in it. It's adenine, thymine, cytosine, guanine. This is the genetic code. That code on one sheet of paper would be, again, that would be 424 feet high in one strand of a plant or an animal. Unbelievable. All right, go ahead. On creation day five and six, God programmed the DNA of all living things with a unique internal clock to develop from a single cell to a living organism. All right, chicken egg. Okay, picture a chicken egg. You see it? Now, if it's unfertilized, you have it for breakfast. But if it's fertilized, let it go. We had chickens at our house. From a fertilized egg, 21 days later, it comes out a chick, completely formed. All the organs, everything functioning. And 21 days, perfectly timed. By the time an unborn baby is 18 days old inside the mother, the heart starts to beat. 18 days after fertilization. 42 days after fertilization, the brain waves are detected. 52 days, the baby's hiccuping and he yawns. 8 weeks, 2 months after the baby was fertilized, all the organs are working. All the organs are working. 9 weeks, fingerprints. 10 weeks, the baby can feel pain. 12 weeks, the baby can smile. Programmed to the day from the beginning of time. Did you all know that the word Adam and the word human both mean soil and dirt? On the sixth day of creation, God did something different. He got down in the dirt. God got down in the dirt. And he formed Adam. The name Adam is the Hebrew word for ground or soil. God then breathed his breath into Adam's nostrils. Adam, which means dirt, became a living soul. The breath of God is what separates human beings from animals. Beginning with Adam, every human being born of a woman has received an immortal spirit, immortal spirit, as God has, immortal. God created man with a free will so man could reason, reflect, and choose either God's path for his life or his own. Take a look at that picture. You ever have an x-ray of your teeth? Okay. I brought this sample here tonight. Okay, he forgot his bottom teeth, so I had to watch what he's eating. This is one of the things I used to show the kid at school. This is a mineral called calcite. This is where calcium comes from. It dissolves and it goes into milk, but this is our bones. Okay, when we die, it returns back to dirt. Isn't that amazing? Look at the intricacy of that picture. Okay, I think that's mine. Look at each tooth, how finely tuned that tooth was made. You can see the nerves inside the tooth. You got in front of the front teeth. They cut the food, the incisors. You got the molars that grind. It's perfectly made. But we return back to dirt. Calcium. Your circadian clocks. Regardless of our age and our unique genetic backgrounds, we wake up every morning and go to sleep each night in a body that's finely tuned. Some of you, I notice, were tired because it's late at night. It's amazing I'm still talking because I'm normally sound asleep right now. That's the truth. The Earth's daily 24-hour rotation as it revolves around the sun and the time released two specific hormones from the internal glands known in science as circadian clocks. If you didn't know this, it's in my health book. If you take your finger and put it right between your eyes, if you go in there about 2 inches, there's a little gland. That little gland, if it gets dark, it tells that little gland, release melatonin, and you get sleepy. And some of you are starting to get melatonin right now. Okay? Seriously. Me too. But then in the morning, when sunlight goes through your eyelids, it tells that little gland called the pineal gland, tell your adrenal glands it's time. And the alarm clock goes off, and you have cortisol, and it wakes you up. And you can't go back to sleep. Now, Brett, take a look at the next picture. Take a look at that picture. There you are. That's everything that you're looking at. Everything, the timing of all those things that take place in your body. God timed. He did this when he created day 4. The sun's rotation, the moon, everything. Everything's finely tuned, and we are tuned to that. That's us right there. Take a look. All right, go ahead. Who is that? I had a birthday last week. Okay, unbelievable. We're both the same age. The two of us are the same age. We are all the same age. Okay? Isn't it amazing how many years we've been on this planet Earth? And every year, okay, that we on October 3rd, for me and you, we add another year onto it. And all of you are getting older. All right? Well, again, I got good news coming up. Really good. You're going to love what's coming up. Go ahead. The human lifespan in the Bible is in Genesis 6. A lot of people say, well, it's 70 years, 90. No, God said the limit is 120 years. 120. In Genesis 6:3, God has placed on the caps of every DNA that makes up our body and every living thing, but on us, telomeres. It's a cap. And the telomeres are on the end of your DNA. They're protective caps like in your shoelace. And as we age, if you are stressed out or you have poor lifestyle choices, they shorten these caps, and it makes it more likely that your cells will stop dividing and you will not fulfill your destiny. How many people, I mean, right now, there are people in this room that, again, are trusting God to fulfill the destiny that everything about your life is written down in the books. And if you want to fulfill your destiny, then totally trust God. Don't worry about anything, right? Okay, now, Alan's daughter, she's on the video that we produced. Tell me why, Bill Nye. But I took the pictures from that and I put this together because this will blow you away if you haven't seen that. Okay, so the annual migration of the monarch butterfly, and I'll just go like this. And I love butterflies, and I know you all do too. How can such a complex multicellular animal, take a look at the pictures, everybody. Look at that. Okay, that's the entire lifespan. How can such a complex multicellular animal make 4 complete body changes? Okay, go ahead. And then, listen to this. The caterpillar forms a shell, and once it forms a shell called the chrysalis, it dissolves completely. Nothing left. Nothing. It turns into a liquid. It turns into butterfly soup. I'm telling you, this is a fact. It's a fact, all right? And 12 days later, it comes out of the chrysalis. It has 6 parts of its body. It's got, three parts of its body. Three parts of its body. 6 legs, wings, and it knows how to fly. There it is. All right, so we're going to go over that slowly so it sinks in right now. So go ahead. We're going to take a look. In just 1 month, the egg is laid. 5 days later, it's a caterpillar. It's a caterpillar for 13 days. 13 days, the caterpillar turns into a chrysalis. It's a chrysalis, turns to liquid. 12 days, it all melts. And then it comes out an animal that has a 3-part body, 6 legs, and knows how to fly. And the butterflies are only alive for 3 to 10 days. And during that time, they find a mate, lay their eggs, and die. That's the life cycle of the monarch in 1 month. Okay? But that doesn't end there. Here's the greatest enigma. Okay, so watch. One more picture. There's the caterpillar coming out of the egg. There's a caterpillar. And the next picture is the chrysalis. Look at the butterfly coming out. Look at that, and it knows how to fly. Did it go to flight school? Programmed on days 5 and 6, guys. Programmed. God programmed that. Then they find their mate, and then after they mate, the female finds a branch and lays her eggs, and then boom, boom, dies. That's not even wow yet. Wait until you watch the wow coming up. One of the greatest scientific enigmas of all. Nothing will touch this ever. Every fall, millions of the 4th generation monarchs in this area, they already left. And all over the East Coast, up into Canada and Central United States, all leave. And where did they go? Let's take a look. They leave their spring and summer homes, both in Canada and the East Coast and the Central United States. That's Generation 4. Now, look at Generation 1, 2, 3. They only live for a month. Generation 4, where do they go? Watch this. This will blow you away. They all fly thousands of miles down to Mexico. Okay, there they go. Think about what's happening here. Go ahead. And they go to the mountains in Mexico where it's cool. It's not cold. And they go into hibernation. Now watch. This is going to blow you away. Okay? So how do they do that? How do they know where they're going? They were a butterfly that grew up right here in Wyoming. How did it know to go all the way down to Mexico? GPS by God's design. Doesn't that really blow your mind? They have magnetite inside their head. They're magnetic lines that God has coming out of the center of the earth. They have been programmed. How come they're not teaching this in school? to follow the magnetic lines, right, Chris? You know this. And that, now look, here's another enigma. That generation that just left America lands on the exact same tree that the generation that they're related to was on the winter before, the same exact tree. And watch what happens. Generation four wakes up. They fly back to North America, but they stop in places have milkweed because they need some energy. Milkweed is what they lick and get the energy. And then they breed. And then, take a look. That's a year. That's a 1 year. That's a calendar of one animal. All programmed because of the sun on day four. God did this on day four. And that animal, look at that. That blows everything they teach in school out of the water. And that's just one little snippet, okay? Now, this is on the Bill Nye video. We did this. No, actually, it's on my website, God's Grand Design. It's on the Monarch Butterfly. People around the world watch this. They're watching it right now. This is unbelievable. We did this in a television studio. We had 10 children. Folks, salmon, whales, birds, and sea turtles do the same thing when they migrate. It's GPS. God put that inside of them. They know exactly. No one showed them where to go. They just do it. And the timing is on the same day. And those birds that left, the little ones, I told you the story, they're osprey. They were the babies born this year. Their parents already left. They went down to Mexico. Their parents right now are down in Central America, or in South America. The females are in northern Brazil. The males are in southern Brazil. The male comes back first in the spring. Same day every year, finds the nest. He builds it. Then his wife comes back. It's all ready. They have babies. They leave on the same day every year. Okay. Now, one last guy. This past year, we had, and we didn't have them on the Eastern Shore, but they had them on the Western Shore because I drove over there. And it was like, if you're very sensitive to hearing, it drives you crazy. This is called Brood X cicada. There's 3,000 species of cicada. Brood X, after hatching from an egg, this cicada, which is the oldest living bug, okay, spends 17 years under the ground sucking sap from tree roots. On the 17th year, when the ground temperature reaches 65 degrees, this cicada nymph digs its way to the surface, climbs to the nearest tree, sheds its outer shell, spreads its newly formed wings, and flies from tree to tree, crying out for a mate. I need a girlfriend. Okay? Here I am. Finding a mate, it breeds. The female cicada lays hundreds of eggs, fertilized eggs, into a single tree limb. And then she dies. And the eggs hatch and they go into the ground for 17 more years. Now, I'm just giving you just a snippet. The leaves are going to be changing here. The leaves that you see on a tree were the same color last year on the same day. Why? Because it's not getting cold. It hasn't been cold. It's the amount of sunlight. God programmed them. They need so much sunlight for chlorophyll A, which is green, to keep on producing oxygen. And when there's not enough, chlorophyll A start to look at the trees. They start getting a light green, and then they change. Orange is keratin, like a carrot. Xanthophyll is the purples and red, and then it's dead, and the leaf breaks off the bottom and falls to the ground. I hate fall, okay, because I live in the woods. But again, it's happening everywhere. Now, I'm done with day number four, the solar calendar. You understand how finely tuned that was? Now we're going to go into the one that God had me do. This is the lunar calendar. That's this book right here, from cover to cover. All right, so the lunar calendar. God's calendar. There's all the feast days. Okay? God's calendar, a 24-hour day, is not what we think. This is God's day. It starts at sunset. It ends at sunset. Midday is when you get up in the morning. That's midday on God's calendar. It's Genesis 1, 2, and 3. How many people know? How many Christians know that? This is a day. All right, next one. God's calendar, 6 days of creation, from Genesis 1, 1 to Genesis 1, 3. All those days on God's calendar. God's calendar. This is how many people know this? Now, if you read my books or watch this, you would. If you open up the book of Genesis, everything started from order to disorder. How do I know that? Because the words are there. It's in Hebrew. The word for each day, Arab, means disorder. So every day started from Arab and went to Bokur. It went from order of disorder to order. Day one, the earth was void and dark. Day one, light. And then we had time and space and matter organized and the laws of nature, all of that on day one. Day two, unorganized matter. At the end of day two, order, organized matter. We had stars and galaxies. Day three, unformed earth. At the end of the day, we had continents, we had oceans, and we had plants. Day four, we had a toxic, opaque atmosphere that the sun and the moon would not be seen. At the end of the day, we had oxygen. We had a transparent atmosphere and with the sun and the moon visible. Day five, there were no animals in the sea, no multicellular animals. At the end of the day, we had order. We had an explosion of aquatic life. Day six, no land vertebrates. Day six, all land vertebrates, including us. That's God's creation. This is what happened. It went from disorder to order. So what happens at nighttime as the sun goes down, we go into disorder. We wake up in the morning with order. Does that make sense? Okay. The Bible sees day one as the beginning of recorded time. The Bible looks forward from creation. Now, with Adam and Eve, that's when our time started. We just entered the year, and it's up there past Adam and Eve. Okay, the year right now is 5,782 years of human history. That's this book right here, once Adam was created. God's calendar, a seven-day week. God said, okay, a week consists of 7 days. He created everything in 6 days, and he commands us on the seventh day, rest. It's a Sabbath, rest. It's a commandment. Commandment. God bless Chick-fil-A. I've never seen so many cars around a building, okay? Look how God's blessing. If we are obedient to God's commands, look how he blesses. The God's calendar, a 29-30-day lunar month. A month is based on the moon. Each month on God's calendar is based on the phase of the moon. It starts at a new moon when you'll see it, and it goes all the way. 14 days later, it's a full moon, and then it goes back to a new moon. That's God's calendar. There it is. Take a look at the video. Isn't that cool? Each month on God's calendar begins and ends with a new moon. And that's what it looks like. Every 14 days a new moon, every 14 days a full moon. And by the way, my Genesis book, I'm putting this animation in for kids. The Genesis book should be done early next year. I was talking to Brett back there because I really need help on this. Folks, when the Genesis book is done, all the days, all the science will be in there with these pictures and more. The kids open up the book. It's digital, and there'll be children on each page that opens up. And they will be real children. And they will say, Chris, you know why grass is green? No, read this page. And guess how much I'm charging when it's done? It's a four-letter word, starts with an F and ends with an E. And press a button, and it goes to every child in the world. Take a look. There are the moon's phases. I taught this in science, so waxing and waning. But you know what? That's God's timing. Perfectly, every single month. Look at that. Okay. God's calendar is a lunar year. A solar year is 12 months. However, a lunar year is 10 days shorter than a solar year. There is a leap year every 3 years with an additional month added to bring God's calendar in perfect line with his creation. The prophetic significance of God's feast days, that this is going to grab you, unbelievable. To the day. God's calendar. There's your spring feast. There's your fall feast. We are now in the fall feast season. The seven feasts of the Lord are holy rehearsal dates and signs that God himself has ordained for mankind's benefit before the foundation of the world. It's for our benefit. Everything is for our benefit. God loves us. Everything was created for our benefit. He loves us. The four spring feast days are in preparation for Messiah's first coming. All of those. How many people knew that? How many Jews know this today? This is the preparation time for God, for Jesus' first coming. Passover. The Lord's Passover begins at sundown on the 14th month of Nisan. Exodus 12:12-13. On the same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both the people and the animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. So you are to put blood on the doorposts as a sign that I will see the blood, the death angel, and pass over, and you will not be touched. You will not be touched. The blood is on the door. Jesus' trial before Pilate was on the same day the Jews slaughtered the lambs in preparation for the Passover day. Jesus' trial began the night of Passover, and by the noon of the next day, Jesus, the Lamb of God, was crucified. The Feast of Unleavened Bread. Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread because it is on this very day that I brought your people out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. On the first day of the month, you are to eat bread made without yeast. And from the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day, for 7 days, no yeast, which represents sin, is to be found in your house. If anyone eats anything with yeast or leaven, they will be cut off. This is a commandment of God. Jesus was without sin and the perfect sacrifice for all time. Before Jesus was crucified on the cross, he was beaten 39 times. After Jesus was killed, he was placed in the tomb. While the Israelites celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Holy Lamb of God was dying, sinless, in a tomb, awaiting the resurrection as the sinless, unleavened bread of life. The Feast of First Fruits. 3 days after Passover, the Israelites celebrated the Feast of First Fruits. This 3-day ritual brought God's blessing on the spring harvest by the way of a token blessing on the first budding crops that were planted. It was also the start of the 50-day countdown to the Feast of Weeks. Jesus is our first fruits of the harvest to come. Jesus rose from the dead 3 days after Passover. Paul called him the first fruit from the dead. On one day, just like our forerunner, we will be resurrected to life and join him in glory. The Feast of Weeks, Shavuot. 50 days after the first fruit, 7 weeks and one day, the children of Israel were to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, thanking God for the harvest. The Jewish tradition says that Mosaic law given at Mount Sinai on this day, Jews were required to travel to Jerusalem to celebrate this special Sabbath feast. 50 days after the resurrection, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the apostles and the disciples as they gathered to pray. Our bodies have become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Folks, everything that happened exactly on the day. Everything missed the Jews. They didn't recognize Jesus to the day. The three fall feasts are preparation for the Messiah's second coming. Now, I'll tie this up at the end, what happened to this church, because that's what I was praying about. That's where this came from, my heart, and I think this you'll understand in a moment. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of God's calendar. It marks the beginning, and this year it started the beginning, I think it was the 7th of September, Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. It marks the beginning of God's civil calendar. It is celebrated on the day of Tishri as the Jewish New Year. It means the head of the year. It marked the exact moment that God breathed into Adam, the exact moment that this book became the calendar of God to the exact moment. It is a beginning of the days of awe. 10 days a 10-day period of introspection and repentance that culminates on Yom Kippur, known as the Day of Atonement. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement, 10 days after Rosh Hashanah. It is the highest holy day of the Jewish calendar. In the Old Testament, the priest made an atoning sacrifice for the sins of the people on the Day of Atonement. This act of paying for the penalty of sin brought reconciliation, a restoration of relationship between the people and God. After the blood sacrifice was offered to the Lord, a goat was released in the wilderness to symbolically carry the sins of the people. This scapegoat never returned. Jesus is our high priest on Yom Kippur. He entered God's Holy of Holies in heaven, and he presented himself to his Father as a perfect, sufficient, once and for all sacrifice. Now, this is the big one. Sukkot, meaning the time of celebration when God tabernacled amongst the children of Israel during the 40 days in the wilderness. The Feast of Tabernacles is celebrated as a celebration of a future time when Yeshua will return to set up his millennial kingdom. People from every nation, both Jews and Gentiles, will come to Jerusalem on Sukkot to worship their eternal King Yeshua. He will tabernacle amongst us in unimaginable glory in the Messianic age to come. This is what we're waiting for. This is why you've been obedient. This is why we pray for our unsaved loved ones. We want everybody together. We want to do this all. This is going to happen. It will happen on God's time. Now, I'm going back and we're going to finish. Daniel, like this church, was praying on its knees. This is what happened to this church. This is what happened. You guys were so obedient, having services in the morning, asking for the glory of God to come down, praying over the knees of sick people. Daniel's out praying. He knew God's word. He knew the time was up. According, he just read Jeremiah. The devil knew it too, guys. The devil knew what you were doing. The devil sent three people to spy on him. He was not allowed during this period of time. There was an edict that went out by the king, Darius, that for the next 30 days, you are not to pray to anybody other than to me. You're just to lift me up and pray, and just all you're allowed to do is pray. They walked in and heard him praying to God. And what happened next? He was ordered to be killed, thrown into the lion's den. Now, one thing, Darius trusted him. See, guys, there's in this world, you know so many people I don't, but there's a core group of people that I trust. I trust you, Maureen. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. Those of you, I trust you. Those of you that I've known for years, okay? I trust you, Barbara. I trust you, Alan. I trust you, Brett. Darius knew that this man was to be trusted, but he had to keep his word. He said, you can't do it. And then he released him back. Guys, you've been released back. You've been released back. Pastor Barbara will be back here. She'll be healed. Your prayers, look, I thought he died. I'm serious. If it wasn't for that man here, he wouldn't be here today, okay? So you have people that you're caring about that nobody else cares about. This is what we're supposed to do. God is not listening to a word I say. He's looking at the heart of everybody. And he knows the heart. And you guys have been on your knees and you're prepared for what's about ready to happen. Okay? He was on his knees. Look at him right there. Then I set my face toward the Lord to make a request by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, Lord, oh Lord, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and mercies with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned. We're all sinners. We have sinned. Every one of us. And we got down on our knees and we got cleansed. This past month from Rosh Hashanah until now on the feast, we're cleansed. We're ready. Daniel is ready to hear the answer. Lord, according to your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins. Let me sum up what the sins were. God told Moses to tell the people as they left Egypt, here's what you're going to do. This is what I command you to do. You're to plant your crops every 6 years. You're to harvest at the end of the year. You're to keep my commandments, the Ten Commandments, and love me and be appreciative of what I did for you and love one another, period. That's it. Were they obedient? No. God loved them, though. He sent prophet after prophet, warning after warning. They didn't listen. And finally, time was up. And that's why they were all carried to captivity. Now, that's not what happened here. The devil got into this church. The devil got into all the lives of everybody around. We know the devil. This church right now is one of the few churches out there that know who the enemy is. And it's not flesh and blood. And you have won the battle, folks. Okay? Watch what's about ready to happen at this church. While Daniel was praying, the angel Gabriel came to him about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed and said to him, Daniel, I now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. You are highly esteemed. All of you are highly esteemed. Everyone that comes to this church, morning, evening, oh my gosh, God's saying, wow, them thumbs up. Okay? And by the way, it's not church. Church is not in the Bible. Most of you know that. It's called family, ecclesia, assembly. Church is just the devil did made a building, okay? That's all it is. We are a family. You're my family, folks. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. 77s are decreed for your people in your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy and anoint the most holy place. Daniel 9:24. In verse 24, Gabriel said, 77s, 70 times 7 are decreed for your people Israel and your holy city Jerusalem to finish the sin. 77s are 70 weeks of years, or a 490-year period. Now, he's not talking to Christians, folks. He's talking to Israel, and he's still talking to Israel. So I think you're going to, if you didn't understand this before, you're all going to say, wow, okay? 77s are 70 weeks, 490 years until Israel repents, not Christians, Israel, of their sins and crowns Jesus, the Messiah and King forever. Know therefore and understand from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, comes, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, 483 years. The street shall be built again and the walls even in troublesome time. Gabriel said the prophetic clock would start at the time when the decree was issued to rebuild Jerusalem. When was that issued? The command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem was given by King Artaxerxes of Persia in 445 BC. That's in Nehemiah 2, 1 through 8. From the date that the decree of the time of the Messiah's first coming would be 483 years. So let's do the math. 445 added 483 brings us to the date, that date up there. This is the same day that Jesus was on a donkey going through the streets of Jerusalem, and people were putting palm leaves down and calling him Messiah. Same day. Daniel 9:26 specifies that at the completion of the 483 years, the anointed one will be killed, cut off. This was fulfilled when Jesus was crucified. Daniel 9:26 continues, after the Messiah is killed, the people of the ruler will come and destroy the city and the sanctuary. This was fulfilled in 70 AD when Titus destroyed Jerusalem. Not a stone shall be standing, Jesus told them. And I was in Jerusalem, and you can see where the streets were crushed as they pushed the stones over. All the spring feasts were fulfilled at Messiah's first coming. All of them. All of them, to the day and hour. When will the final week of Daniel's 70 weeks begin? Okay, now, this is something that some people, a lot of you know this, but some of you don't. Here it comes. of the 70 weeks of the 7 7 or the 70 weeks prophesied by Daniel until Messiah's second coming will be 69 weeks were fulfilled with Jesus' first coming, the 483 years. This leaves one more seven to be fulfilled when all Israel shall be saved. For the past 2,000 years, God's prophetic time clock has been placed on pause, as it were. The final seven of Daniel's week, when all the fall feasts culminate with Jesus' return, will only take place when this verse recorded by Paul in Romans 11:25 is fulfilled. This is it. There's the key verse. And here it comes. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be conceited. He's talking to Christians around the world. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles has come in. That's our job. We have to go out there. We don't know who the last person is, but that's our job. The harvest is coming this spring. Folks, I'm not a prophet. I'm a teacher. I mean, this is what a teacher does. There's something coming. There's a line. You know, on December 3rd, you know, they kick the can from now until then when the country defaults on its loans, $29 trillion. I don't think that's it. Something's going to happen. Something huge. When 9/11 happened, all those liberal teachers run up to me who never talked to me because they thought I was ridiculous. They look like deer in the headlights. They're scared. What's happening? I had no answer, okay? But they came to me. People are going to be coming to this church. These seats will be filled to overflowing like it was. I'm telling you, they're going to be coming to you. Pastor Barbara's going to be restored, okay? We have entered the year 5782. This is a Shemitah year. Remember, Israel was not to plant or do anything on the seventh year. They were to rest. They were to eat the harvest of the first 6 years. They would have so much if they would have listened to God. This country, which was founded on God, okay, has turned so far from God, I can't even believe what's going on. Every day I look at the news, I don't want to see that anymore. Oh my gosh. Take a look. These are all the past Shemitah warnings to America. I'm not going to read them all. Every 7 years, this is what's happened to this country because we turned against God. Every 7 years. Guess what? This is the Shemitah year. You guys are going to see the greatest every blessing. We're going to see miracles. We're going to see things we've never seen. Yes, sometimes there's enigmas that happen and people that we pray for die. My mom is dying right now, but you know, it's her time. Just like Cindy. When Cindy died, I said, why did you allow that? She fulfilled her destiny. That timid woman went before the whole world. You can go online and watch her. She fulfilled her destiny. God wrote everything down in books. I'm a Jew. I'm crazy. I want to stay the full time. Why do you think I've lost all this weight and I'm exercising? I want to stay, okay? It's time for God's prophetic calendar to find its fulfillment. It's time that we partner together to see the billion soul harvest this coming spring, especially reaching today's youth. I want to get my book out. I want children to know that God is their creator. You know, parents are pulling their kids out of public school. Everything's digital. The book is going to be digital. I need your help when it's done. I'll send it to y'all. Send it to everybody, okay? We must pray to the Lord of the harvest that he sends forth his laborers into the great end time harvest field. He has chosen and prepared all of you for such a time as this. Now look, Genesis 3, 17 to 19, our telomeres shorten, we die. When Jesus comes back, our telomeres never shorten. Way forever. And look at that. Eternal life. Forever and forever. Forever and forever. Forever and forever. Skip, isn't that a good idea? Okay. Now, I'm going to summarize with something that's going to blow your mind. Okay, here's what happened. It happens to me. Okay, enigmas. All right, so here is my health book. I have the first editions of the health book here. This is the spiral bound, which is complete, but this is on nutrition. They're yours. I put about, 100 there. Pass them out. See, folks, this is, again, my passion was I was dying in 2014. I had cancer. I had all those genetic time bombs that were going off inside of me. I'm a researcher. Everything I did is I research. I just had Lifeline screening to check to see if everything's still working. It is, okay? It is. But I'm trying to get this book out. The government doesn't care about us, okay? They don't care about health or anything. So I'm trying to find some Dolly Parton person out there that will buy these things and sell them. I'm selling it for the same price I'm printing it. The same price. It's called To God's Glory Publications. I give all the money away because, again, this is what we're called to do. Give it and more will be given to you. So here it comes. Brett, all right, well, go back to that last picture. Go back to the last picture. I got to tell a story. Guys, you got to hear this because it's going to blow you away. So, folks, something happened. It's happening to all of us. Satan has got into digital technology like never before. Criminals are out there. I get my state retirement check delivered on the last day of each month into my bank account. I went to my bank account. I woke up at night to go to the bathroom, and I said, I'm going to go and check to see if the money was delivered. This is September 30th. I looked. There it was. The money was delivered to my bank account. And then right under there was my M&T bank card. There it is. Leave it right there. It's perfect. And I noticed something on my bank card. There was a charge for $3,100 that I didn't make. Somebody got my bank card from Amazon, and they used it, and they bought all these things from my bank card. So that was the end of me going to sleep that night. Again, this is September 30th. So I'm up all night. I call Amazon. I got a person on the phone. By the morning time, when the sun came up, midday, they took the money out of my charge. They said, and they did the investigation. Now, with that said, I went to M&T Bank, and I had to tell them, cancel my credit card. Now, that credit card is the one that I use at the end of the year because all of my business expenses are there, and I can just take it from there and use it for taxes, okay? Some of you do that. All right. I didn't think any more. Problem solved. So we're marketing this book with Outreach Media. Outreach Media takes banner ads. Your son-in-law, I made the ad. My wife and I came up with a hook. It says, the answer's been there all along. Keep your immune system strong. Then we had the book, and under that it says, no doctors, pills, or medical bills. It's a digital ad. I made it. My wife came up with the idea. We sent it to Jonathan. Jonathan sent it to the company. They started advertising. Now, all you do when you go to the website is if you see the ad, you click it, and it takes you to the website, and that's a part of the website. There's the book, and if you're going to buy the book, you just click add to the cart. That's all you do, and then it takes you, and you buy it, and it goes into my bank account, okay? I kept on checking my videos on Vimeo because my videos are on there, and people all around the world were watching the videos, but nobody's buying my book. I'm thinking, that's weird, because the last book I promoted was Newton's Riddle, and we made a lot of money on that. Newton's Riddle, though, when you click it, it took the website, and then it went to Amazon, because that's where it's sold, and they bought the book. I just get royalty, but this one I get the full amount, okay? And it goes into my bank account, and I give it all away. All right, so anyhow, I went there, I clicked add the cart, and it spun. I said, oh, there's the problem. Nobody can buy anything. So I called her son-in-law, who is my digital guy, and Jonathan, within about 30 seconds, said, Neil, it was your credit card. Okay, it didn't work. So I gave him another credit card, and Jonathan got it working, and I could go onto the cart. Then, go ahead, Brett. Go one more. There we go. Take a look at that. I snipped that so you could see it. Within 30 seconds of Jonathan getting that new card ready, $3,000. two books were sold. Within 30 seconds, two books were sold. Then the next day, take a look, I went on the website. No, I opened up the website, and there on the front page of my email, I saw that number. I'm thinking, whoa, what the heck is that? $5,400? Somebody out there gave me $5,400. They didn't leave their name, they didn't leave their email, and they didn't leave their address. The money was transferred into my bank account. I'm thinking, what in the world? I called Stripe up because they're the connection between my website and my bank account. They're still investigating. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is what I'm saying for all of you. All of our prayers, every one of us, we're going to be blessed beyond measure. They didn't even buy a book. I just want to make sure they get a copy of the book, whoever that was. That is what I'm telling you. We're going to be seeing things like this, which are going to totally blow us away. Healed of cancer completely. Blessed beyond measure with your books. Everything. Everything we're praying for completely. So I think that might be it. Let me see. Yep. Bidip, bidip, bidip. That's all, folks.